Good morning. Some of you know me and some of you don't, so I thought I would just give a very, very, what I call the Reader's Digest version of my testimony. Although my last name is a Shank, I am not from this area. So when Merle and I first got married, people would be like, oh, are you related to your? And I was like, I don't know. I was born in New York. I used to talk like this. So I was born on Long Island. My dad got transferred with General Motors when I was in seventh grade. We moved down to the D.C. area, went to school in Northern Virginia, and then came to JMU to study music. And I spent my 4.5 years at JMU the whole time saying, I can't wait to get out of this place. I hate this place. I mean, I just blah, 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 counting down the days. And the semester that I graduated, that last semester, the Lord said, I want you to stay here, and I want you to give your life to the local church. And that was many years ago, 30-plus years ago, so you never know. 3 years after that, we graduated, Merle and I got married. We just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary in September. He's awesome. I'm sticking with him. We have 4 children. We have 3 boys and then our daughter. I always say that we had the cake and then the Lord gave us the icing. Our boys and our daughter went through Harrisonburg High School. Sorry, Spotswood Peeps, but we live in the city. And our boys are all graduated and off doing their grown-up adult things. And our daughter graduates in 2 more weeks. So we are getting our last one out of college. It's a happy day. Okay, before I get started, I do want to say when we were singing that song, doesn't matter what I feel, it doesn't matter what I see. I felt like the Lord said there's somebody here today that you need to change the glasses you're wearing. Because the glasses you're wearing are fear. And so what you see and what you hear are causing fear. And that song goes on to say, so I'm casting out all fear. My hope will always be your promises to me. And if I had my hardcover old school Bible, I would say it's almost like whoever you are, you need to take your Bible and put it in front of your eyes like these are my glasses. This is what I'm going to see through. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I see. I'm casting out all fear. I'm taking off the glasses of fear that I'm seeing life through, and I'm going to see it through God's promises. So whoever that's for, God loves you so much that he would say that to you. This morning, I want to start by reading part of a blog post by a woman named Nancy Guthrie. It was 1 month to the day after my 6-month-old daughter, Hope, had died of a rare metabolic disorder. Heading out alone on a business trip, I thought getting away and being busy might actually alleviate my grief. But instead, sadness traveled with me. That night in my hotel room, I desperately wanted someone to remember Hope with me. And so I did what most people do when they feel lonely. I reached out to find someone to help my loneliness go away. I punched my way through the numbers programmed on my cell phone, but no one answered. I didn't know how to connect with God in a way that would soothe my loneliness, so I finally cried myself to sleep. Welcome to week number 2 of our sermon series, It's Better That This Way, Life in the Holy Spirit. And it's based on a scripture found in, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It is to your advantage that I leave. What? If you were here last week or you were at Grace Main last week, just a very brief review, we heard about basically who is the Holy Spirit. We learned that the Holy Spirit has been around from the beginning. He shows up in Genesis 1:2, and the last mention of him is in the very last chapter of Revelation, and he's been all through time and will continue to be all through time. He's been from the beginning. He's not a plan B. He's not a super sub. He's not a, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We need to think of something quick. He has been from the beginning. We learn that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Tri being three, unity being one, Trinity. That's where the word the Trinity comes from. I know I don't get it all the time. I don't understand how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can be one and three. But isn't that where faith comes in? We don't have to understand everything. We walk by faith and not by sight. We learn that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a fog. He's not this feeling. He's not an emotion. He's not an experience. He's not this eerie woo. He is a person. And he's God. He is God. Again, that gets back to he's part of the Trinity. He's Father, he's Son, and it's Holy Spirit, all in one at the same time. So when Jesus was walking here on the earth as the Son of Man, he could not be everywhere at once. He could be with the people that he was walking with, but he could not be everywhere. So that's why he told his disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away." Jesus was here on earth in the form of man. He was fully God, but he was fully man. So being fully man, he could only be at one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be everywhere at any time. You know, the Holy Spirit is here today. But do you know what? The Holy Spirit is over by the DMV at Grace, Maine. And the Holy Spirit is at the church down the street. And the Holy Spirit is in the people worshiping over in Italy. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere at any time. And that is a definite advantage. The Holy Spirit replaced the exterior presence of Jesus with an interior presence, a presence that is always, always there to guide and instruct us. I love this quote from author and speaker Max Lucado. Some of you may be familiar with him. He says, "May I simplify things a bit? The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in our lives, carrying out the work of Jesus." Pretty simple, pretty practical, but that's where I live. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in our lives, carrying on the work of Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not have a different plan or a different agenda than Jesus did. It wasn't like when Jesus was resurrected, the Holy Spirit's coming in and saying, "Good, now I can have my way." That's not the Holy Spirit. He's actually the one who, in a sense, kind of had the baton passed to him from Jesus. Okay, you carry it on for always, to everyone, at any time. And because of that great news, because the Holy Spirit is here all the time, everywhere, you're never alone. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. I want to help us to know the Holy Spirit even just a little bit better today as we dig deeper into one particular word. And as we do that, my hope is that because of the Holy Spirit, you really will see you're never alone. How many of you know you can be in a crowd of people all the time and feel really alone? I'm not going to make you raise your hand if that's you, although I will be honest and say I have felt that way. But with the Holy Spirit, you are never alone. In the John chapter 16 passage that we just looked at, there's one, this word helper that's here, "For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you." It's actually the word parakletos. It's a Greek word that means a person called alongside another, one called alongside to help, an intercessor, an advocate, a helper, a comforter, a counselor. It's a word that cannot be translated into just one English word, and thus, that's the definition: advocate, counselor, comforter, helper. And it's used a total of 6 times in Scripture. And I've put that down there. John 14:16, John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:7, and 1 John 2:1. All those places, you won't see parakletos in those verses, but you will see helper, comforter, and that that comes from the Greek word parakletos. Your version might say advocate. Your version might say comforter. So which one is it? Yes. Yes. So for the remainder of the time, I simply want to look at a few of the meanings of the word parakletos and dig into what that means and looks like for us today, for you, right now, in your very circumstances. I won't hit it all, I'm confident, but I think I will cover some material. So, to start out, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Thank the dear Lord. That's not in Scripture. That's my amplified version. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Do not get confused that saints mean, oh, you mean the perfect people. Oh, you mean the Saint Peter and the saint. No, if you are a believer in Jesus, you are a saint. You are considered a saint. Doesn't mean we act like saints all the time, but you are considered a saint. So that means the Spirit intercedes for you. The Holy Spirit prays for you and me. Wow. That's huge. And maybe somebody is sitting here today thinking, I don't even feel like God's for me. He is for you. God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. And he's praying and interceding for you. The Holy Spirit is for us, not against us. And so because he's for us, it should come as no surprise that he prays for us. How many of you have ever experienced times when you've just thought, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. Or I'm tired of praying about this. I'm tired of praying about this. I've been at a loss for, I don't know how to pray. The great news is that in times like that, the Holy Spirit is praying for you to the Father. And God the Father hears the prayers of the Spirit for you. Those prayers are always heard, and believe it or not, they're always answered. And guess what? No is an answer sometimes. Ouch, I agree. I don't like that answer, to be honest. No is sometimes the answer that we get. And sometimes there's silence. And that can even be almost more frustrating. Really? The Holy Spirit's praying for me and all I'm getting is silence? You know, I believe that it doesn't mean that God's like, oh, I didn't hear that one. I think it's a not yet. Not now. Just wait. Do you know timing is everything? And God's timing is perfect. As I was coming in this morning, I heard part of a song, and it talked about how God was working in the waiting. And just to go off on a little bit of a tangent here, as you're waiting on the Lord for something, and you're feeling like, I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting a yes. I'm not getting a no. I'm just waiting. Do you know what? Scripture is full of promises for those who wait on the Lord. But there's not one promise of good things for people who rush ahead of him. As hard as it is, keep waiting. The silence does not mean he hasn't heard you. It's a timing issue. Now, this scripture also says he searches, he prays for you and intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And as I was studying for this, different commentators have a different read on what that might mean. But two that I pulled out, one commentator says the groanings are intense, unspoken sighings. And it's not like a, oh, you frustrate me, Sushank. It's not that. It's out of a intense love for you. And another commentator said, these groans, I think, are the deep, inexpressible sighs and feelings of love that he has for you. It's like, I love this kid so much. My heart is so for this child, my child. Put your name in that blank. It's an intense love for you with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit is praying for you, and he's praying in line with God's will for you. Wow! I think that's great news. I may not always know God's will for me. I mean, eventually, it comes. Takes me a while sometimes to get a clue. But this says the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's awesome news. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you in a deep, intense way according to God's will. That's a win-win situation, church. That's exciting. The Holy Spirit, your intercessor, he intercedes for you. Secondly, the Holy Spirit counsels us. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. To counsel someone is to give advice to them or to advise. And thank the dear Lord for professional counselors. Thank you for people who do give us guidance and give us counsel. I think that's wonderful. I'm not demeaning that in any regard. But the Holy Spirit will always be your best source of counsel. Why? Because he guides us into all truth. You can put your money on the fact that whatever the Holy Spirit counsels you and guides you in, it's truth. You don't have to worry or wonder. His counsel will be best for you and your future, both the immediate, maybe this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, and the way future, weeks, months, maybe even a year from now. And he hears about your situation, the Holy Spirit, he hears about your situation from God. He doesn't say anything except what he's heard from God for you. Wow. How does the Holy Spirit give his counsel, his advice, his direction to us? You could say, like, Sue, that sounds great. He gives us counsel, but what does that mean? Well, I believe it's often in subtle, quiet, kind of that nudge sort of way that maybe you've even said this. I don't know. I just had this peace. I can't explain it. I just had this peace. Or there was something that I just felt like I was supposed to go talk to that person, or I was supposed to go pray to that person, pray for that person. Or maybe you felt like I had a real hesitancy and I felt like I wasn't supposed to go there or to have that conversation or say what was on my mind. That is a way the Holy Spirit speaks. But sometimes he speaks in more obvious ways, like through other people. Have you ever been in a situation, I know I have, where somebody is sharing something either to you or in a group setting, and it's about them or about something totally general, and I just feel like I can't hear anything else in the room. I don't know what anybody else is saying because I feel like what you're saying, that's for me. And that person probably has no idea That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And also, I would just say, sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks through Scripture, jumping out at you. You could read a verse in the Bible, and it could be a new verse to you, or it could be one you have read 50,000 times, but you read it that one time, and something quickens in your spirit. And it's like, wow, that was directly for me. So in order to hear and know the voice of the Holy Spirit counseling us, it's important to stay in the Word. It's important to keep talking to God, which is prayer, and keep giving ourselves time and space to be with God. When we take time to do that, when we set aside time to read Scripture, to pray to God, it doesn't mean that God will speak. We can't control God. Okay, I'm going to do this, and so then you have to speak to me. Spending time with Jesus doesn't mean he will speak, that the Holy Spirit will speak, but it gives him space to speak when he's ready to speak. So can I encourage you to make space in your lives to spend time with the Lord? I know we are busy. Can I just ask you for 5 minutes? Can you find 5 minutes in your day to get into the Word and talk to the Lord? There are a million apps, devotional apps out there that will take you less than 5 minutes. And that's the way to know the heart of God, to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, and a way for God to speak to you. Well, how will I know that it is the Holy Spirit speaking? When I hear something, when I sense something, how do I know it's not me? Here's a couple of things. Number one, the Holy Spirit will never lead you into sin. So if it's sin, it's not the Holy Spirit. That's an easy one right there. Whatever the Holy Spirit speaks will always be consistent with Scripture. He's speaking from the heart of God. It will always be consistent with Scripture. And it will lead you into truth, which kind of ties into it won't be sin, it will be consistent with Scripture. And in John 16:14, when Jesus is talking to his disciples before he leaves, he says, "And the Holy Spirit will glorify me." So whatever the Holy Spirit speaks, it will glorify Jesus. It will glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to and will counsel us. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask and then listen. And lastly, I would not do well on Jeopardy because I cannot ring in on this thing. Lastly, the Holy Spirit comforts us. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4 in the Passion Translation, "All praises belong to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort." I mean, I could stop right there. That is great news. It's not like, and the God of comfort you get once a week, or the God of comfort you get on your birthday. That's your day of comfort. No, the God of endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them this same comfort that God has poured out upon us. I love verse 4. He always comes alongside of us because one of the definitions of parakletos, helper, was one who comes alongside. So here we have it again. He always comes alongside. He is always the parakletos. He is the Holy Spirit always coming alongside of us. 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus told his disciples in John 16:33, "In this world, you will have trouble. You will." Or in the New Living Translation, it says, "Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows." Not really great news, Jesus, if he stopped right there. If the period was at the end of the sentence and then he left, that would be awful news. He didn't make that statement and then say, "Well, hope y'all can figure it out. You're going to have a lot of problems, but you're on your own now." Like, that's not what he did. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be with us as our comforter because he knew we definitely would need comfort at various times in our life. He knew we would. In John 16, as Jesus is giving right his final time with the disciples before he's arrested and then crucified, and he's giving his what some scripture would call the farewell discourse or the final discourse, he says to them, right before he tells them about the Holy Spirit coming, he says to his disciples, he says, "I can tell that sorrow has filled your heart." He knew that they would be in need of a comforter. Sorrow had filled their hearts hearing of these things that Jesus was saying, and he knew they would be in need of a comforter. And we still need that comforter today. It is so good to know that God is the source of endless comfort. Endless, bottomless, free refills, however you want to relate to it, of endless comfort. You know, back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 51:12, God says, I am he who comforts you. Church, if you don't hear anything else today, go out with this one thing. God is a God of comfort through the Holy Spirit. God is a God of comfort through the Holy Spirit. And the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which we read in Hebrews 13:8, the God who comforted his people in the Old Testament and who came in the form of Jesus and comforted them while Jesus was here, has sent us the Holy Spirit to continue being our comforter for now and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The fact is, life is hard. Unless you have never left your home, which that's none of you because you're here this morning, life is hard. We are bound to run into something that's difficult, that's trying, where we need comfort. Just within the past week, I've just heard of hard things. People who are experiencing deep sadness, real fear, scary diagnosis, concerns about children. They are all in need of real comfort. And perhaps, you know, you could be saying, that was me. That is me. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. The Holy Spirit does comfort us. I had lunch a couple of weeks ago with a woman, and she was saying she's been wrestling with some things with her children, and she said she walked into Easter service over at Grace Main, and she said, "I sat down, and I immediately," and she didn't even know I was going to be talking about this. She said, "I immediately felt the arms of the Holy Spirit wrap around me, comforting me." She said, "I couldn't tell you what the sermon was about." She said, "The whole service, I just felt the arms of the Holy Spirit around me, comforting me." Yesterday at our women's brunch at Grace Main, there was a lady at our table, and she was sharing how she had just come out of a very difficult season in her marriage. And I forget the connection of how she found out about our church, but she said she was sharing with the women at our table, and she said, I walked into this church, and as soon as I walked in, I felt these arms all around me. And she said, and I'm not talking about arms of real people. She said, I walked in these doors, and I felt arms wrapped around me. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. For me personally, two times stand out the most. Sorry. Two times stand out the most when I was deeply in need of comfort. One was when my dad passed away very unexpectedly in 2010. And then the most recent was last year when our daughter received her diagnosis of thyroid cancer. And not to be dramatic, I don't want to be dramatic, but I felt like the disciples. I was filled with sorrow. I needed comfort. And even in my anger towards God and my questioning of it all, I still cried out to him in desperation, and the Holy Spirit came to me as a comforter. It doesn't mean I stopped crying, obviously. I didn't stop missing my dad. I didn't stop being angry, shocked, deeply concerned about Caroline's diagnosis. All of that was still there. Yet, I felt comforted. I didn't feel alone even when I was alone at times. Even when I was physically alone in those days following both of those things, I wasn't alone because of the Holy Spirit comforting me. And that comfort could only have come from the Holy Spirit because circumstances certainly did not dictate it. And that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. He can override circumstances, just like we sang this morning. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I feel. My hope will always be your promises to me. Because I have Jesus in my life, I've given my life to him. He's my Lord and Savior. And because of that, Ephesians 1:13 tells me that I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when I read that, I just think of totally old school because people, number one, don't even write letters anymore. But there used to be these things called paper, and people would write on them, and then you'd fold them and stick them in this thing called an envelope, and you would lick it and seal it, and you know. And then there used to be, like, I remember as a teenager, it was like the cool thing to get this wax, and you would melt the wax at the little seal, and then you'd have these, you know, things to put in the wax quickly before it hardened that would have like your initial on it or something, and it was sealed. And when I read that Ephesians passage about you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, I just pictured like, poof, you've been sealed. He's in you, Sue. He's there. He is there. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comforted me. He is my comforter. Have you ever felt like you knew someone was praying for you? Or maybe you had somebody come up to you and say, I'm not exactly sure why, but you were really on my heart, and so I just prayed for you. Or maybe you've been the one saying that. Maybe you've gone up to somebody and said, you know, maybe you don't even know me that well, or maybe you do know them well, but you were really on my heart, and so I prayed for you. Have you ever felt counseled by God? Have you ever felt like something just dropped into your spirit, and you're like, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm supposed to do. Or have you ever felt comforted by him? In the midst of hard circumstances, you have felt comforted. If you have, then you have been touched by the Holy Spirit. Church, Jesus left the earth when he ascended into heaven, but that was to our advantage. It doesn't make sense in the natural. Wait, somebody I've been close to for these years, you're leaving, and you're saying that's to our advantage? What? That was to our advantage that Jesus left. Why? Because it made a place for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit will never leave us. John 14, 16, Jesus says, in referring to the Holy Spirit, that he may be with you forever. Hebrews 13, 5 in the Passion Translation, it says, I will never leave you alone, never, and I will not loosen my grip on your life. I love the visual of that. It's like Jesus coming and just gripping us and saying, I'm not letting go. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not going to loosen my grip on your life. The Holy Spirit walks alongside of us. The Holy Spirit will not loosen his grip on our lives. And Scripture also talks about him holding us by his right hand. Again, that is a great visual. Can you just picture yourself with Jesus? He's holding you by his right hand, and all through life, you're just walking with Jesus. He's got you by his right hand, and he's not going to lose his grip on your life. He walks alongside of us, holding our hand as he intercedes for us, counsels us, and comforts us. This is who we as believers have access to us. This is who is dwelling in us. I love this quote by Max Lucado. He says, imagine all the promises Jesus could have made to his disciples, but he didn't. He didn't promise immediate success. He didn't promise the absence of disease or struggles. He never guaranteed a level of income or popularity, but he did promise the perpetual, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. That is great news. So if you're here today and you've given your life to Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have someone to come alongside of you, to help you, to pray for you, to counsel you, to comfort you. And if you would like to pray for more of that power, for an activation or an immersion of the full power of the Holy Spirit who's inside of you, otherwise known as the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we would love to pray for you for that at the end of the service. And if you're here today and you don't yet have a personal relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't yet have the Holy Spirit residing in you, can I invite you today to make this the day that you give your life to Jesus? Here at Grace Covenant, we believe that it's only through the forgiveness of our sins can our relationship with God be restored so we can receive eternal life or salvation. We have to believe by faith in who Jesus is, stop living for ourselves, and instead live for God, which is repenting. We believe that salvation is based solely on Christ's work on the cross and his grace. Nothing we can do to earn it. It is a free gift. It's a free gift of God. It's a gift. All you need to do is ask and receive. In Romans 12, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not, well, you might be if you work hard enough, or I'm going to observe you for a while, and if you're doing okay, then you'll be saved. No, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. So if that's you and you want this free gift of salvation, if you want to start living with Jesus, I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads and I'm going to pray this prayer over everyone. And if this is you and you want to receive salvation, I'm just going to ask that as I'm praying, you just raise your hand. So if everybody would just bow your head. And if this is you and you want to receive Jesus in your heart, you can repeat just quietly. It doesn't have to be out loud, but just raise your hand. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Guide my life and help me to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, because of the Holy Spirit, we are truly never alone. It really is better.